WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. This guy here, not just my chief digital officer, but he'll be out with us having a crab cake and a ice cold beverage as I do 31. I thought the crab cakes were bad enough last year. Now I'm doing the breweries, Mike, and you know, I'm only a couple days into this thing, but 31 breweries in 31 nights, that might get me killed. Mike Rosenfeld's here. He keeps us sane and keeps BaltimorePositive.com together and keeps us percolating and keeping us online as we cover training camp. Luke's at training camp. The Orioles are getting going. But more than that, you know, you're a CEO, right? I mean, we big thinkers all get together and try to fix the world and all that. You recently took a trip, like a legitimate business trip that is a part of trying to make Baltimore more positive, right?
You got it. Yeah, there's a group, Baltimore Metro Council, led by a guy named Mike Kelly, good guy, who gets together the local politicians. I'm talking about the mayor, all the county executives in Maryland that touch Baltimore, some business leaders, nonprofit, hospital systems. So there's about 70 of us. Go to cities. My first one that I was invited to was right before the virus. We went to Nashville, which was a great, great trip. And just 2 weeks ago, we went to Detroit, which is my second home. My wife's from Detroit. So,
well, here, I'll poop on Detroit just for a minute. Say, look, anybody can pick Nashville or Vegas or Miami, right, for a convention. But you pick Nashville and Detroit, a lot of differences between Nashville and Detroit, right? And I guess that's the thing about studying cities and trying to make them better is you go to a place like Nashville and say, all right, here's a place that was a sleepy little sort of southern Midwestern town as I knew it when I got my Predators jersey, which I touched the other day. My Predators jersey that Trotz made for me in 1999. Like, it's 23 years old now. That's how long the Predators have been there. But that would speak to that city sort of coming to life. And then there's Detroit, which, you know, they write punchlines about Detroit. But Detroit has also made a comeback. I was there in 06 for the Super Bowl. It was a big, big part of what they were trying to do with downtown, getting people back downtown. I saw lots of areas that had been leveled. But I haven't been to Detroit proper since the baseball tour, which was 15. So it's been 7 years since I've been to downtown. I was not there for the Tucker kick last year. I was in St. Louis. But so give me a little, I mean, you've been going a long time. You married into it. Is it noticeably different, at least when you go?
Yeah. So let me try to spell it out. So my in-laws live in the suburbs, as many people in cities do.
Eminem wrote about that. So did Kid Rock, I think, right?
Yeah. They ran away from the city on the other side of 8 Mile.
Well, Madonna just left. She just said, I'm out. She just went to New York and that was the end.
Exactly. So they ran away. And for years, I never went downtown. I mean, I would visit twice, three times a year. Everything was in the suburbs. And I would say the suburbs are more like Montgomery County than they are Baltimore County.
Fair enough.
Detroit. A lot of wealth in Michigan, everyone.
And I've been to Grosse Pointe. I attended a wedding up there. I know. Yeah, I saw insane wealth in you know, north of Detroit, like a very, very wealthy community. Yes.
So my story is that my oldest son went to University of Michigan, let's say 2012, 2013. And when he started going there, I picked up the pace of going to Detroit so I could visit him. But I also was like, what am I doing? I mean, I have family, friends, people to network with when I go to Detroit. And I started, I stayed at a WeWork type of place in downtown Detroit. And it was a ghost town. Yes, all the abandoned buildings, everything you see.
Down there by Greektown Casino and like all of that area?
Right near, much closer to the stadium. I could have walked to Tiger Stadium in 3 minutes.
Tiger Stadium, but not the new stadium.
The new stadium.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
America, yeah. So right there. And there were maybe probably more than three billionaires, but three billionaires that stepped up. One was Dan Gilbert, who owns the Cavs and owned Quicken Loans. And he was buying up buildings. In fact, when I went to Detroit 2 weeks ago, they showed a skyscraper that he bought for $3 million. I mean, unheard of. And And he used his leverage to say to people he was doing business with, hey, you want to continue to do business with Quicken Loans? Why don't you establish an office downtown? And people were starting to now move downtown. And it started to feel like, and this may mean something to you, it started to feel like in around 2013-ish, and that's around when you, the last time you went, like Canton did in Baltimore with the, you know, pre-2000 bubble bursting digital tech vibe that was going on there, and just percolating young people. And you could start feeling that in Detroit. And when I started my firm,
you could feel that in Federal Hill when Under Armour started hiring people.
Oh, so you
started seeing your daughter and your kid, but they were from Columbus, they were from Atlanta, they were from other places, because you'd start to see Red Sox bars pop up in Federal Hill, right? Like, I witnessed all of this here, where there was an immersion of some employment from a different sort of place in Under Armour. I would say for tech places, I mean, Reston, Virginia, different places like that, what they're trying to do in Port Covington right now. My wife and I drove by what used to be the Baltimore Sun, and there's the big ship and whatever. You haven't driven by 95 by the McHenry Tunnel and just look south? There is a little Detroit popping up there, right? There is a little – there's a thing happening there, right, that Mark Weller told me about 3 years ago, has since been thrown out. But like, that's all people are going to work and live there. They just are. Look at it. They're going to work and live there.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, and Detroit has a similar problem that none of, and I'm experiencing this with, I thought with both of my sons, they went away to school and they didn't come back. So one went to Chicago. He's still there. And
one the other to St. Paul. Oh, it's a different song. I'm sorry. Yeah, wrong song. Okay.
The other son went to Austin.
Little leader of the band. A great song for your dad there. You know,
for sure. Fun. For sure. Yeah. But, you know, Baltimore has an issue where our best, most talented people don't come back to live here. And Detroit's battling the same thing. So you could definitely start feeling it. And
Madonna never went back. Yeah. I don't even know people know she's from there, right?
Yeah. Well, people from Michigan won't don't forget to tell you.
See, that's the thing about Baltimore, though, right? Like, Ray Lewis was going to be everything here, but he's never going to live here, right? Steve Bisciotti built everything here, and now he's on a boat somewhere, right? Like, so people do build things here, and they go. And there was a whole generation of the men who built this city who had places in Jupiter and West Palm and Palm Beach and Sarasota that just disappeared at 60 or 65. Brian Billick's gone from the state. He's out in Ohio now. People think that they want to be here for tax reasons, and I talk to lots of people about that, for sunshine, or just for, hey, I want a beach. I want a better life. I want a different life. A lot of people pick Delaware or pick Ocean City. I mean, I see those areas, if they don't fall under to global warming. Yeah, I see that whole Dover to Salisbury area as being 100 years from now where people are going to want to be. First off, it's going to be 15 degrees warmer. So it's going to be more like Jacksonville than it's going to be like Delaware, right? From a climate standpoint, that there would be some of that. But I would also say for cities, and I'll be in Baltimore today. I'm going to Ministry of Brewing today. I'm going to Soul Cuisine. It's day three of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. If you're following along out there, it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Goodwill, Window Nation, as well as the Restaurant Association of Maryland. By the way, Mike Rosenfeld, my dear friend, partner from Web Connection, and our chief digital officer, talking about cities. But I do worry about Baltimore. You know, this time 3 years ago, I was talking about running for mayor, and I was putting a lot of plans together. You know this, and talking about fixing problems. And now that I see them more on a zoom in basis, you know, I drive into the city. Now I park, I walk, I don't walk everywhere. But I will park and walk this evening in Baltimore City. I do it three nights a week now that I don't live in the city, but I go back and I do see it differently about corners with squeegee boys and places, neighborhoods I don't need to drive through, that I don't need to be a hero. You know, my wife and I were going to get peach cake the other day, and I'm like, which way do you want to go? And I'm like, why don't we go the safest way? And dude, that's me talking. Okay. Like, that's not, I don't talk like that. I don't have any fear of, I'm going to be on North Avenue today getting a crab cake, you know, like literally in 6 hours, I'll be getting a crab cake on the east side of North Avenue and then on the west side of North Avenue later in the month. So I'm not afraid of anything here, but there is a convenience at 53 when you start seeing automatic weapons on Martin Boulevard in Baltimore County. And Mike, I'll tell you this. I went down to Annapolis on day two of the tour on Tuesday night. See JD Souther. You like JD Souther? Little music. You know who he is?
I don't.
You should. You okay. Do know, but you don't know. He wrote. Okay. He was Don Henley's writing partner, and Joe Walsh, and Don, and Linda Ronstadt, and Poco, and everyone. He wrote Heart of the Matter. He wrote New Kid in Town. He wrote Best of My Love. So he's that guy. So he played down at Ramshead. Wonderful storyteller. Lives out in the mountain and just plays the piano and strums the guitar. And I went down to Annapolis, and in 30 minutes on the street, I saw 15 kids on dirt bikes doing wheelies in Annapolis on a circle coming up from the hill where Chickie and Ruthie's is and the ice cream and the penguins and the cobblestone and the circle. And we got panhandled in downtown Annapolis. Like, you know, just people, hey man, my wife and I are like, yeah. No different than Baltimore. I mean, this is not a Baltimore problem or an Annapolis problem. No. Dude, this is an American urban problem. Right. This is an American urban problem. Blight, infrastructure, homelessness. People don't want to be there. People have spread out. People want space during the plague, as we will forever probably call it the rest of our lives. And I don't know. The cities are so convenient. I loved living in the city. I miss living in the city. I want to live in a city again. But the conveniences of the city and the nuisances of the city and the cost of the city and then the value, right? The whole what am I paying? What am I getting? What's the lifestyle? What's my quality of life, right? And when you're a 20-year-old kid, you don't bleed for William Donald Schaefer or the Colts or Cal Ripken or even Ray Lewis. You just want a good quality of life. Yeah, I went to Charlotte a couple years ago. It sort of inspired me to run for mayor because I'm like, holy hell, what? They built stuff here. Young people are here. There must be jobs here because you could just smell and sense the vibrancy of it. And the same thing would be true for Nashville. Now, Nashville feels a little Gucci to me, feels a little bubbly to me, feels like it might be cool for a while and might not be cool forever to some degree. But Detroit, Baltimore, Cleveland, Buffalo, like all of these Rust Belt places all have this commonality of your kid doesn't want to come back to it.
Right. Well, you got it. So what I may do is there's one thing I learned from Detroit. And there's one thing I learned about home that we take for granted. So the thing I learned about Detroit is their mayor, Mayor Duggan, spoke to us. He was a CEO of one of their hospital systems. And he told the story that, you know, he kept complaining about his employees driving to work and all none of the lights worked on the streets and his nursing staff kept saying, you should run for mayor. You should run for mayor. And he said, no one that looks like me is a white guy. No one looks like me is going to get elected.
I literally had a hospital CEO, a white hospital CEO, look me in the eye and said, you're white. You can't run for mayor. Right. In this city, that really happened 3 years ago. I had plenty of white people tell me that my Hispanicness could never run for mayor of Baltimore because no one would vote for someone of this pigmentation. And right. I don't believe at heart that we have a city full of racists. I feel like we have a city full of people who may not trust each other for all sorts of reasons, but all want the same things for their kids, all want the same thing for a job, all want the same thing for public safety, all don't want dirt bike riders rolling through, wheelie kids pulling a wheelie up onto my wife's face at the Alicia Keys concert tonight, right? Like, we all want safety. We all want jobs. We all want prosperity. We all want food. We all want that. So I think good leadership can come in any race, color, creed, gender, because my experience has been that. Great people can be great people. So, but that is heartening for him to say, hey, look, people here aren't racist. They voted for me. They want something good. That's all right. They want. They want a quality of life.
And he had the hustle, and he went to people's homes, and he said the story that he would sit with three people, and they would tell a couple people, and then he'd sit with five people. Then he'd go, you know, to some restaurant and speak to 10. And then it was getting larger and larger and larger. And lo and behold, he was elected, and everyone loves him. While I was listening to him, I texted my father-in-law, who's 83 years old in the suburbs. What do you guys think of your mayor? Love him. So everyone, people in the county love him. People in the city love him. But one of the things that they're doing is, and our mutual friend Bill Cole has talked about this with me on multiple occasions, that there's a problem that's brewing with the lack of people going to the trades. The older generation are retiring, and they're not being replaced by the younger generation because it just doesn't seem like something that they're interested in doing. But
I talked to Corey McCray about that when he comes on the show, because, you know, he's a guy that was in a trade, had a skill, and is a politician now or whatever, but background is using his hands and working, and like for anyone here, the trades are, and I'm from Southeast Baltimore. We had vocational technical schools, right? Dennis Colazzos and I talk about EVT, Votech, right? I remember thinking I was going to be a bricklayer, or thinking I was going to be a printer, you know, like at the Dundalk Eagle or at the Sun, you know?
And you know, a lot of people don't know this, but people who do that for a living are middle to upper middle class, because they're getting paid a lot of money.
Plumbers have made a lot more money the last 20 years than I have doing sports radio. I promise you that.
So what they're doing in Detroit is they are getting people from the city who are doing nothing, or maybe the equivalent of doing squeegee, and they're teaching them these crafts. Anyone who is interested in learning how to be a brick, you know, a mason, a plumber, whatever the case may be.
Electrician, right?
Exactly. Roofing. Exactly. And they're
Window Nation, all the people I've had in my home the last 8 months putting it together that I needed, bathroom, flooring, the carpenter, all of those things, all of those people have been in here, and they're all like way smarter than me, every single one of them, and they all get in a truck and they all drive to work every day, and we need them forever, right? As long as the sun's going to shine, and we're going to need plumbers to turn on the water if we want to take a shower this morning,
right? So that's a thing. Now, what we have in Baltimore, so Detroit's on a little bit of a roll. They had to hit rock bottom. You don't buy skyscrapers for $3 million unless the city's in
bankruptcy. By the way, I just Googled Kwame Kilpatrick, because that's what I'm thinking about how many of their elected officials have gone to prison. I had somebody from Illinois the other night. They're like, Blagojevich. I'm like, oh, you know about corruption in Illinois, do you? A little bit about that. So we now have this incredible reputation, right? We don't just put our mayors in prison. We put our cops in prison, right? Like, literally, they make movies about it. We make series about it. So our reputation on all of that would be not dissimilar to Detroit in that way, as far as what leadership looks like.
Right. So as much as Detroit's on a bit of a roll, and as much as their city's on coming back, I will tell you that to a person, whether it was my in-laws, whether it's my wife's friends from Detroit who come to visit, to a person, as I drive down Green Spring Valley onto 83, down into the city and into the city, say, I didn't know Baltimore was like this. This is awesome. They love the restaurant vibe, the individual neighborhood vibe.
The city's a lore, not a place to be avoided.
Exactly. And we take that, we're like, oh, we're the brunt of the joke. And we're, you know, are we?
But it wasn't like that, dude. I lived here for 20 years. Downtown was very attractive to me at the turn of the century. It was very attractive to my wife as a tourist, and then to marry me, and then to move to the city. She thought she was moving somewhere. You know what I mean? Real.
Yes.
And our Inner Harbor, the stadiums, both of them, the first one, then the second one, our football team, our history, our food vibe, our crab cakes, like our heritage, Edgar Allan Poe, like all of these things we have here need to be better leveraged than they've been the last 15 years, better led, better serviced. But to your point, it does start with, oh, we don't like squeegee boys. Well, let's get them jobs. Let's get let's find a thing for them to do that is productive, not destructive.
And I'll tell you that the leaders, so look, I'm a small business owner. And so I don't know the first thing about politics and what they're doing. For all I know, they're doing a programs like what I talked about in Detroit, trying to get people into the trades, right? But to a person, and this also this happens everywhere I go, all these other cities, the leaders always say, we have so many assets. We have so much here. We just, I don't know if it's we can't get out of our way. And I don't know our new mayor. He was there. I didn't get to spend time with him to know if he's on the right track or not. But a lot of it's about leadership, you know, from administration to administration and how the baton's passed in Baltimore and, you know, and the next mayor is there. I don't know if he's the one. I hope he is. But everyone says it's about leadership, recognizing the assets we have and taking the bull by the horns. We have a lot going for us. We take it for granted because we live here. Yes, we have crime. Every city has crime. Yes, we have a lot of crime. And it's a
could Jane Miller get elected here?
I think she would have a chance because she's, you know, look, Baltimore in the past has elected mayors of all colors. She's recognizable. So it wouldn't be like a rant. And so were you. So it wouldn't be like me, who, if I went in the city, people are like, who is this clown?
Or some hospital guy that just went door to door, like literally a different. There's a lot of ways to do this, right? Like I keep seeing Schwarzenegger videos and thinking, holy hell, he was the governor of California, right? Because he was famous. Jesse the Body Ventura, the governing body. Just because he was – now, good job, bad job. Hey, man, give him the job, find out, right? I mean, they made Trump president here. That didn't work out so good. I speak for – all sane people and saying that was a really, really piss poor idea. But there are good people and good people who want to step up and, you know, maybe not Dr. Oz, running in Pennsylvania when he's really from New Jersey, that sort of ish. But I'm talking about good citizens that inspired me. Having this thing be a mess and doing Baltimore positive was I live in the city and it's got to get better and we've got to make it better. And that's how I felt about it. And for Detroit and before that, I haven't been to Cleveland lately now, right? I mean, Cleveland's been kicked around all of our lifetime. I've never had a bad time in Cleveland. I've never felt afraid in Cleveland. I've walked through Cleveland many, many times in all weathers, whatever. Cleveland's a place that I think if you live there, you think of it as a place that's gotten better over the course of time and you don't mind going down to a Cavs game, a concert, whatever, bring your relatives down or whatever. It's not we're going to go to downtown Cleveland and get killed or get mugged. Baltimore's got a whole different thing going on, and it's earned a reputation, which is even more disgusting. You know what I mean? Like the fact that every day something crazy's happening, we've got to cut this out.
There are people in this world, like you and I, who see things for their merits and aren't intimidated to have to go downtown and have an experience. There are other people in this world who will never go downtown because they're just afraid, don't see any value. But the people in the middle who would go, and I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, I don't want to get too into the squeegee boys. I'm the guy who puts a bunch of singles in my car to tip them because I know they're hustling. I know it's entrepreneurial, but I also know that, you know, it depends on what group of squeegee boy kids you get. If you get the ones that are true to the mission that no, thank you. And they like, okay, cool. And walk by, that's cool. If you have others, you just start doing it.
Rare that I've had cool kids in the last year and a half, 2 years.
I totally hear you.
Much more rare. So I had a bad experience last weekend, literally.
So the question becomes, the city, which needs tax revenue, needs people going downtown to support its businesses. My son, the one from Austin, actually moved home to Baltimore. My fingers are crossed that he stays here. He lives in Brewers Hill. For me to get to him, depending on traffic, the navigation says, hey, go 695 to 95 all the way around or go 83 downtown. If it's a jump ball, sometimes I'll go the other way because I want to avoid the fact, am I going to get a good squeegee experience or a bad squeegee experience? And the funniest
thing, that should not be something that enters your mind when you're going into Baltimore City. It enters my mind every time I go into Baltimore City, especially when my wife is alone.
And if you agree with me that there are people who will go to the city, one whether they're squeegee boys there or not, and there are people who will never go, if you look at the people in the middle who are thinking about it, imagine that the first, as you enter, at least from the county, Baltimore County, taking 83, you know that that's going to be your welcome to Baltimore sign when you're at the end of 83, going to Fells or Canton or Harbor East, that you're going through the squeegee boys. If you're one of those people who is just like, I ain't dealing with that, you're in the middle, that's a problem. That's a problem. And imagine people who are from out of town, I think about, who are staying in the county, who are driving in, and this is their first experience.
We don't need civic deterrence to coming into the city. We need invitations. You know what I mean? Like that. And that's what I've tried to do here at Baltimore Positive. That's why I'm doing the crab cake tour. By the way, you need to keep your kid over in East Baltimore. Your crab cake? Yeah, I mean, LP Steamers next Thursday. We're doing the show. Come on by. Bring him by Federal Hill. We'll move him over to Locust Point. All right.
Okay. Sounds good. But
Mike Rosenfeld is here. I just want to do a reset here. Web connection. He is the outsourced chief digital officer. He's my chief digital officer. Keep going, man. Keep rambling.
Well, I want to make sure I'm clear to say that while that's the squeegee boys is a concern, it has to be dealt with. Imagine that instead of doing squeegees, they're learning a trade. They're learning to be plumbers. They're learning to be roofers. And they're going to stay in our community, and they're going to make decent living, and they're going to buy homes, and they're going to stay here, and they're going to contribute to the tax base.
And they're not going to get hit by a car in traffic at the foot of Pratt Street.
Exactly. So I don't want this to be one-sided, like it's a bad thing. They're out, they're hustling. And look, I've never had a horrible experience. The worst experience I've had is
yeah.
Hey, can you give me 5 instead of 2, or can you give me 10, you know, and not being grateful for the fact, I mean, if you do the math, $1 for a windshield for 30 seconds, and you do the math.
For something I don't want, I don't need, I would never need in a million years, I have a button for, I just can't go back to the point that this is a vocation. If you're, if your starter is, this is a job, it's not a job. I won't hear that. Not as a county resident, a city resident, as a human being who travels the world everywhere in urban environments. I've never seen it anywhere else. I've never heard of it anywhere else because they don't tolerate it anywhere else because it's a really bad idea. It's bad for them. It's bad for us. It's bad for drivers. It's bad for businesses. It's bad for everybody. It's a bad idea. It really is.
And I'd say take that initiative, take that hustle, and focus it on something that will benefit them and benefit our city.
Stepping up, jobs training, opportunities, giving people a chance to make an honest living, right? I mean, that we've heard that from the beginning of this country for 250
exactly.
years, right?
You know, and look, it sounds so easy. All I'm telling you, we'll bring it back to Detroit, is I saw programs all about that. And
you
I saw
want to go to Detroit now, you know, like,
well, I can't tell you how many people I've gotten to go to Detroit just by just the talking about the vibe and all that.
Is it the pizza? Be honest with me. Is it the pizza?
It is not. It's their Coney Island.
Really
hot dogs,
good. Pizza's good. The Detroit style pizza. I'm all for. Tell everybody what you do in the chief space here to make the world a better place.
Well, I'd love to believe that what I do makes the world a better place, but it does make it better for you and people like you. I'm an outsourced chief digital officer. My firm helps small to mid-sized businesses who know that their website, their social media, their email marketing, their content marketing should move the needle in their business, but they don't have a digital leader to be able to see that through. They may have a marketing person who does the best that they can. They may have an intern who's doing their social media, but that's not strategic. So what I do is I learn my client's business and I put them in a position to leverage all the digital tools to exponentially grow their business. And I've loved working with you and talking about, you know, the transition from into Baltimore Positive and all things Baltimore. And so I
did I break my news to you last week about the new sports column I'm going to be writing here in a couple weeks? Did I tell you about this?
Briefly, why don't you tell everyone?
Well, no, I've named it now. I've decided I've come up with a name.
Oh, I know the name. I remember
it. Oh, you
name.
Got it already? All right. Because I was telling people, I had Dr. Steve on and Greg Landry from LA Chiropractic and Towson Transfers, and I gave it to them. I broke the news right in the beginning of the Crab Cake Tour. Column, C-O-L-U-M-N-ness, N-E-S, columnness. So that's going to be the hashtag for the new sports column that I'm going to be debuting right around 9/11, right around the time the Ravens fly into the Jets and visit Joe Flacco up in the swamps of Jersey. So go to webconnection.com. Mike's a good man, a great innovative mind in regard to the web, but also a good sounding board. And as they would say in the movies, consigliere to WNST. You can find him at web. Are we done? Are you good? You got any Orioles, any Ravens?
I'm good. If you start me down that road, you'll bleed into
it's your fake other football. It doesn't count for another month. Come have a crab cake. Come have a beer. Enjoy your time down at the beach with your family next week. Try to talk the kids into coming back to Baltimore. Tell them Chicago's not safe. Tell them that. Okay.
Right.
Tell them I've been there. Tell them he's gonna come back to Baltimore, where it's a land of pleasant. Tell them the baseball team's getting better.
You know,
we traded away all our good players the other day.
Three-way text with my boys every Oriole game. It's awesome.
Something magic happens. He is Mike Rosenfeld. He is that's two songs in one show here. It must have been my J.D. Souther and my Alicia Keys. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is out and about. Having guys like Mike stop by. Lots of friends. Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global is going to be stopping by next week as well. We are at Full Moon Pub, Route 140, Reisterstown. One of my oldest colleagues, Ross Petticord, is going to be coming by talking horse racing and the Horse Racing Museum up in Reisterstown. Cricket's also coming by. We're going to have a good time. That's Thursday. And then next week, Western Maryland. Got some surprises on Monday and Tuesday in Deep Creek Lake. My wife's going to be paddle boarding out on the lake, so we're getting some crab cakes. Frederick this weekend, Hagerstown, having a donut with the mayor of Hagerstown, Emily Keller, and putting together a beautiful day in Salisbury 2 weeks from now with Mayor Jake Day and State Delegate Carl Atherton. That's a Democrat and a Republican together, for those of you keeping score at home down in Wicomico County. And Heather Mazur will be stopping by as well. We're doing Mako. It's a big, big month. Mike's a big part of that. Our friends at Cole Roofing, also a part of that. I want to give Billy Cole some love as well, because we missed him this week. You guys all vacation and leaving me high and dry in the middle of the crab cake tour. It's just, you know what that means? It means more beer and more crab cakes for me. I am Nestor. Right. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Orioles baseball, Luke's at training camp, and BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.